You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and we'll get you woke up here one way or the other. Yeah, I know it's kind of early of a morning, but get up and enjoy the birds singing. And
it is a beautiful morning. You just heard me say 64 degrees.
64.
Not going to get much better than that in the summer.
No, not. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yes, it is.
Yes, I'd buy that.
You buy that?
Right, I like that. Down there, 58 would be even better, but, you know.
It's not bad, 64.
We were, when we were up in northern Indiana last week, it was 52 one morning.
Ooh.
Isn't that nice?
That was good sleeping weather.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. Well, you was going to read us some more on
I was just
algae.
Right, you know, we got this blue-green algae advisory out at Lake Monroe. It is not out at Patoka, which is interesting, but it's all out at Brookville and at Raccoon Lake around here. So anyway, here's what might happen to you. Okay, it says levels of blue-green algae may be high during summer, right now. And you want to keep from swallowing lake water while you're swimming, mainly. And you got to watch out with your kids, keep them out of it. And that'd be at the beaches at Fairfax and Paintown. Exposure to blue-green algae during swimming, wading, and water skiing can lead to rashes, skin, eye irritation, and effects such as nausea, stomach aches, and tingling in the fingers and toes. You thought that was something else, probably.
Yeah.
After you swim, wade, or ski, be sure to shower with warm, soapy water. Well, yeah, I'd do that, but, you know, if it was my choice and I had to go ski at Lake Monroe today with this algae worm, I don't believe I'd go. You know?
Well, I'm like you. I'd refuse to go because the best thing to do to avoid a lot of that is stay out of the water.
That's exactly right. And how many times have you heard people say, well, boy, I made a mistake. I went down to Lake Monroe water skiing this week, and I got an ear infection.
I got
a skin rash.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. Water quality down there, even no matter what they say, how good it is.
Low.
It is not good. It's
no.
It looks like soup, you know. Looks
right.
Looks like green chicken soup down there, and I can see how catfish and carp can survive. I don't know how the other fish can survive it.
Well, I don't either. I'd say they'll be a pretty good fish kill before it's over with.
Well, there usually is because this stuff kills fish too.
Yeah,
and it kills all living things actually. And depletes the water of oxygen.
Right,
what it
takes all the oxygen. Right. Well, not all, but pretty much.
Well, in any case, if you want to know more about this, I got an internet address to give you here. That's visit www.algae.in.gov. One more time. www.algae.in.gov.
You go.
And just hopefully tell you everything you need to know about it today.
Yeah. The phone number here is 812-323-1200.
Right.
So give us a call if you want to talk about the algae or Lake Monroe or anything like that, by golly, give us a call.
Well, if you're an outdoors person, Lake Monroe is about the most irritating thing that I can think of right now.
Yeah.
It's just, as we've discussed many times in the past, it's sliding downhill and has been for quite some time.
Yep,
and
sure has.
We have closed off all access except at the big boat ramps.
Uh-huh.
which means...
Well, that's the only ones they don't want nobody down there except big boaters.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
I thought maybe it might have something to do. They wanted absolute control over coming and going in the lake, and they can put a conservation officer at five boat ramps. Not too bad to spread those around and watch five boat ramps. But if you got a bunch of people's boat ramps around, you can't watch them like a hawk.
No.
So somebody might get in there without having their lake permit decal.
Right. They might not have all their credentials.
They're $25.
Yeah.
You know, they're $25 you pay for that lake decal. And, you know, you got to buy one of those for every boat you have. If you happen to have two boats, you got to buy two decals.
Two of them, yeah.
And even if it's a canoe, you still got to buy it.
Well, you got to buy it, yeah.
It's cheaper on a canoe, but, you know, it's still, you have to buy one. So they want to keep their finger on the resources and make some money out of it off of us any way they can. And maybe they'll spend some of that money on the fixing the daggone highway.
They won't use any of that money for that.
Yeah, they won't.
No.
Who knows what money they're using for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so surprised they're not totally bankrupt the way they're going. You know, this highway out here is just going to go on forever. That's going to take forever to finish that highway.
Well, look how long they've been at it already.
Man, it's looked like they were just a hair from being done now for a year.
Uh-huh. And they like a lot.
They do.
They like a lot of being done.
It's really disgusting.
Well, it is. And that's what you get when you get in a hurry to push something through. And, you just run into more trouble than you can handle. And that's what they've done.
Well, it's going to be a nightmare going to Indianapolis on 37 for the foreseeable future. You know, there's no one-year or 18-month plan. I mean, they haven't even started on the last leg. You know.
Oh, gosh, no, and it's going to be a long time.
And that goes through Marion County.
Uh-huh.
You think they're having trouble getting through Monroe County? Wait till they get up there.
You bet you it's going to be a nightmare.
A lot of rich people with land there on the south side of Indianapolis.
Ain't gonna give.
Well, they're probably not going to get away as cheap as they did down here, although they paid certain people down here exorbitant amounts of money.
Some of them come out retarded.
And some of them, they just literally...
stole.
Literally
Depends
did the worst they
you
could.
Were.
Yes, and whether you resisted.
Uh-huh.
If you resisted selling your farm that you had for years or your woods to the state of Indiana, they gave you nothing for your land. Then threatened eminent domain.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they could just take it from you.
Take it, yeah, without any questions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of the highway.
You've traveled that twice this week last week?
Yes.
And I can see why you're all shook up.
Well,
you're kind of like Elvis Presley. You're all shook
up. That's right. I'm all shook up, and nobody stepped on my blue suede shoes.
They didn't?
No, they didn't. But they stepped on my toes on that highway, I'm telling you. The first time I went up to Indianapolis, it took 45 minutes to get from Bloomington to Martinsville. I thought that was pretty bad.
That was pretty good,
yeah.
Really.
Well, I guess. I don't go that way anymore. You know,
that's pretty good. That's pretty fast, man.
I thought I'd give it a try, and, man, it was a big mistake. And then my wife went up to visit her mom up in northern Indiana Friday, and it took her a half an hour to get from our house around onto I-69 because, you know, we lived close to Acuff Road.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was 500 yards away. It took 3 minutes to get there, right? Now it's a half an hour because you got to drive out and around on Arlington Road and then get up there and turn left across 446 and get on up there.
Uh-huh.
Right? A half an hour it took because the traffic backup. Of course, it was at 4:30, you know, bad time of the day to be out running on I-69.
That's a bad time.
So anyway, half an hour to there, and then another hour to Martinsville. just creeping.
Well, that's more normal.
An hour and a half it took her to get to Martinsville from our house.
And you live right on the highway,
The highway, all right. Just unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. And then we get up in Indianapolis, and north of Indianapolis is Anderson, Indiana, right?
Uh-huh.
And there were so many big, bad destructions in the pavement, you know, crumbled concrete, big patches, and dips in the road that we nearly were thrown off the road and could have wrecked.
I believe that.
And it was coming. We hit the same, both sides. It was both the northbound and southbound lanes I-69 in Anderson, Indiana. Boy, watch yourself if you're driving up there, especially if you're pulling a camper, because you could have a crash.
Boat or camper, either one.
Right, any kind of trailer.
Right. Right?
So, and of course, the trucks don't mind. There's plenty of 18-wheelers out there.
Oh, my, yes.
To help you out, you know.
Well, of course, we can talk on that all day, but when they done away with the railroads, why.
Yeah, really screwed us, didn't
they? Yes, it did. It put all the trucks on the highways, and, well, what can I say?
Same thing we always say. I hear the music playing.
Well, we do hear music playing, and I think we're going to have to get out of here for another break, and then we'll talk about sweet corn and tomatoes and some stuff like that.
Sounds
good.
Where
to get them this morning?
Yes.
And so we're going to back out of here for a little bit. Don't go away, folks. By gosh, stay right where you're at. Get them eyes open, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. And, hey, it's about 64 degrees out. We're going to be pretty hot today, high at 94, low tonight 72, high tomorrow 88. Looks like we might have a chance of some thunderstorms coming in. Mostly 80s throughout the week. Looks like 86 on Monday, 85 Tuesday, 82 on Wednesday. Going to be summer, because that's what it is. It's summer, and right now we're going back to Inside Outdoors, folks. Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks, and we'll get you woke up here one way or the other. Yeah, I know it's kind of early of a morning, but by gum, get up and enjoy the birds singing. And
well, it is a beautiful morning. You just heard me say 64 degrees.
64.
Not going to get much better than that in the summer.
No, not. That's pretty good. Pretty good. Yes, it is.
Yes, I'd buy that.
You buy that?
Right. I like that. Down there, 58 would be even better, but, you know.
It's not bad, 64.
We were, when we were up in northern Indiana last week, it was 52 one morning.
Ooh.
Isn't that nice?
That was good sleeping weather.
Yes, sir, it is.
Yeah. Well, you was going to read us some more on algae.
Right, you know, we got this blue-green algae advisory out at Lake Monroe. It is not out at Patoka, which is interesting, but it's all out at Brookville and at Raccoon Lake around here. So anyway, here's what might happen to you. Okay, it says levels of blue-green algae may be high during summer, like right now. And you want to keep from swallowing lake water while you're swimming, mainly. And you got to watch out with your kids, keep them out of it. And that'd be at the beaches at Fairfax and Paintown. Exposure to blue-green algae during swimming, wading, and water skiing can lead to rashes, skin, eye irritation, and effects such as nausea, stomach aches, and tingling in the fingers and toes. You thought that was something else, probably.
Yeah.
After you swim, wade, or ski, be sure to shower with warm, soapy water. Well, yeah, I'd do that, but, you know, if it was my choice and I had to go ski at Lake Monroe today with this algae worm, I don't believe I'd go. You know,
well, I'm like you. I refuse to go because the best thing to do to avoid a lot of that is stay out of the water.
That's exactly right. And how many times have you heard people say, well, boy, I made a mistake. I went down to Lake Monroe water skiing this week, and I got an ear infection.
I got
a skin rash.
Uh-huh.
Things like that. Water quality down there, even no matter what they say, how good it is.
Low.
It is not good. It's,
no.
It looks like soup. You know, looks
right.
Looks like green chicken soup down there. And, I can see how catfish and carp can survive. I don't know how, the other fish can survive it.
Well, I don't either. I'd say they'll be a pretty good fish kill before it's over with.
Well, there usually is because this stuff kills fish, too.
Yeah.
And it kills all living things, actually. And depletes the water of oxygen.
Right.
What it
takes all the oxygen. Right. Well, not all, but pretty much.
Well, in any case, if you want to know more about this, I got a internet address to give you here. That's visit www.algae.in.gov. One more time, www.algae.in.gov.
There you go.
And just hopefully tell you everything you need to know about it today.
Yeah. The phone number here is 812-323-1200.
Right.
So give us a call if you want to talk about the algae or Lake Monroe or anything like that. By golly, give us a call.
Well, if you're an outdoors person, Lake Monroe is about the most irritating thing that I can think of right now.
Yeah.
It's just, as we've discussed many times in the past, it's sliding downhill and has been for quite some time.
Yep,
and,
sure has.
We have closed off all access except at the big boat ramps.
Uh-huh.
Which means...
that's the only ones they don't want nobody down there except big boaters.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it boils down to.
I thought maybe it might have something to do. They wanted absolute control over coming and going in the lake, and they can put a conservation officer at five boat ramps. Not too bad to spread those around and watch five boat ramps. But if you got a bunch of people's boat ramps around, you can't watch them like a hawk.
No.
So somebody might get in there without having their lake permit decal.
Right. They might not have all their credentials.
They're $25.
Yeah.
You know, they're $25 you pay for that lake decal. And, you know, you got to buy one of those for every boat you have. If you happen to have two boats, you got to buy two decals.
Two of them, yeah.
And even if it's a canoe, you still got to buy it.
Well, you got to buy it, yeah.
It's cheaper on a canoe, but, it's still, you have to buy one. So they want to keep their finger on the resources and make some money out of it off of us any way they can. And maybe they'll spend some of that money on fixing the daggone highway.
They won't use any of that money for that.
Yeah, they won't.
No.
Who knows what money they're using for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I'm surprised they're not totally bankrupt the way they're going. You know, This highway out here is just going to go on forever. That's going to take forever to finish that highway.
Well, look how long they've been at it already.
Man, it's looked like they were just a hair from being done now for a year.
Uh-huh. And they like a lot.
They do.
They like a lot of being done.
It's really disgusting.
Well, it is. And that's what you get when you get in a hurry to push something through. And, you just run into more trouble than you can handle. And that's what they've done.
Well, it's going to be a nightmare going to Indianapolis on 37 for the foreseeable future. You know, there's no one-year or 18-month plan. I mean, they haven't even started on the last leg. You know.
Oh, gosh, no, and it's going to be a long time.
And that goes through Marion County.
Uh-huh.
You think they're having trouble getting through Monroe County? Wait till they get up there.
Wait till they get up there. You bet you it's going to be a nightmare.
A lot of rich people with land there on the south side of Indianapolis.
Ain't gonna give.
Well, they're probably not going to get away as cheap as they did down here, although they paid certain people down here exorbitant amounts of money.
Some of them come out retarded.
And some of them they just literally...
stole.
Literally
depends
did the worst they could.
Were.
Yes, and whether you resisted.
Uh-huh.
If you resisted selling your farm that you've had for years or your woods to the state of Indiana, they gave you nothing for your land. Then threatened eminent domain.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they could just take it from you.
Take it, yeah, without any questions, yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of the highway.
You've traveled that twice this week last week?
Yes.
And I can see why you're all shook up.
Well,
you're kind of like Elvis Presley. You're all shook
up. That's right. I'm all shook up, and nobody stepped on my blue suede shoes.
They didn't?
No, they didn't. But they stepped on my toes on that highway. I'm telling you, the first time I went up to Indianapolis. It took 45 minutes to get from Bloomington to Martinsville. I thought that was pretty bad.
That was pretty good,
yeah.
Really.
Well, I guess. I don't go that way anymore.
That's pretty good. That's pretty fast, man.
I thought I'd give it a try, and, man, it was a big mistake. And then my wife went up to visit her mom up in northern Indiana Friday, and it took her a half an hour to get from our house around onto I-69 because, you know, we lived close to Acuff Road.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was 500 yards away. It took 3 minutes to get there, right? Now it's a half an hour because you got to drive out and around on Arlington Road and then get up there and turn left across 446 and get on up there.
Uh-huh.
Right? A half an hour it took because the traffic backup. Of course, it was at 4:30, you know, bad time of the day to be out running on I-69.
That's a bad time.
So anyway, half an hour to there, and then another hour to Martinsville, just creeping.
Well, that's more normal.
An hour and a half it took her to get to Martinsville from our house.
And you live right on the highway,
The highway, all right. Just unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Unbelievable. And then we get up in Indianapolis, and north of Indianapolis is Anderson, Indiana, right?
Uh-huh.
And there were so many big, bad destructions in the pavement, you know, crumbled concrete, big patches, and dips in the road that we nearly were thrown off the road and could have wrecked.
I believe that.
And it was coming. We hit the same, both sides. It was both the northbound and southbound lanes I-69 in Anderson, Indiana. Boy, watch yourself if you're driving up there, especially if you're pulling a camper, because you could have a crash.
Boat or camper, either one.
Right, any kind of trailer.
Right. Right?
So, and, of course, the trucks don't mind. And there's plenty of 18-wheelers out there.
Oh, my, yes.
To help you out, you know.
Well, of course, we can talk on that all day, but when they done away with the railroads,
it really screwed us, didn't it?
Yes, it did. It put all the trucks on the highways, and, what can I say?
Same thing we always say. I hear the music playing.
Well, we do hear music playing, and I think we're going to have to get out of here for another break, and then we'll talk about sweet corn and tomatoes and some stuff like that.
Sounds
where
good.
Where to get them this morning?
Yes.
And so we're going to back out of here for a little bit. Don't go away, folks. By gosh, stay right where you're at. Get them eyes open, and we'll be right back.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. And, hey, it's about 64 degrees out. We're going to be pretty hot today, high at 94, low tonight 72, high tomorrow 88. Looks like we might have a chance of some thunderstorms coming in. Mostly 80s throughout the week. Looks like 86 on Monday, 85 Tuesday, 82 on Wednesday. Going to be summer, because that's what it is. It's summer, and right now we're going back to Inside Outdoors, folks. Listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we're about half asleep and half awake.
We're back, yes.
But we're back, yeah. We're back. Hey, we was talking about, I said I'd tell you where to get that good old vegetables. Down at the farmer's market down in Smithville, Indiana.
Yes, that's...
Old Amos down there comes in from Odin down
there.
Amos, yeah. Amos. I call him Old Amos, but he ain't old.
Does he have a sign up that says Amos?
No. No sign. He don't need a sign. He's got sweet corn down there that melts in your mouth. I mean to tell you, it's just like eating a sugar cube.
That's good to hear.
It is. It's the best corn I've tasted from down there, and I mean it is good this year. And he's got some mighty fine tomatoes too. So if you're looking for some real good sweet corn and tomatoes, and they've got other stuff down there too. I'm just talking about
choice stuff.
Yeah, choice stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got some real good homemade bread. I have to have a loaf of that ever. Have you ever eat any of that, Don?
No.
You ought to try a loaf of that.
I've never been down there.
It is good bread.
I'll have to go down and check it out today, because that was the reason why we were driving up to Martinsville the other day through the backwoods, which you can't do, to get some sweet corn, because that's the only good sweet corn stand I know of.
They've been in business for a long time there.
During the week, you know. But couldn't get there because all the roads east of 37 are closed going north.
Yeah, you can't get there from here.
The old Indiana 37 is not marked anymore. There's not a sign on saying old 37 anywhere.
Is that right?
That's right.
It's about like I-69. There ain't very many signs on it.
Well,
you don't know where them roads are that cross over and stuff.
Well, you can't get anywhere yet.
You can't get on them, but driving down the road, I'd like to look up and say, well, that bridge there is over I-65 or whatever.
Right.
But you don't see that. They're running a shortage on signs.
Well, speaking of signs, did you see that great big fancy sign they've got on the bridge overpass south of town? It says Bloomington, great big red
letter. Gosh, I've missed that. Where
it's on
at?
The first bridge you come to where the 37, just before you get to the 3769 split coming north.
Coming north. Coming I don't north come and, north that way. Well, I stay out of there.
That's right. But it's huge. It goes all, covers the middle part of the bridge.
Well, I'll have to come that way.
It looks like it might even be lighted.
There's one that says Monroe County, too.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. See, they're signing us up.
Well, they must be. I'll have to travel that, but I stay off of that area, and I go the back roads to get to the west side of town, or I can't get to the west side of town for the same reasons that you said a while ago. You couldn't get north. This road's closed. That one there's one lane. Traffic backed up for miles and crap like that. And but from my house, of course, I live south of town, and you know where I live. I can go to Bedford almost as quick as I can go to the west side of Bloomington.
You have mentioned that in the past.
And there's a lot to do. Quite a bit of what we want is on the west side.
Yes.
The east side doesn't have the same thing, but we can go to Bedford and go down there and get what we want and back home, and less time we can go actually to the west side of Bloomington.
Well, that's definitely true if you're coming from in town to get out to the west side of Bloomington.
Well, you can't get there.
You get on 3rd Street at certain times of the day. The traffic is backed up clear to the cemetery at Kirkwood and 3rd.
I believe that, yeah.
Just unbelievable.
Uh-huh.
Both ways.
And why they wanted to close all the roads at the same time. That's a mystery.
It's punishment.
Is that punishment?
they're
punishing us, all right.
Well, did you hear about Grimes Lane?
What about Grimes Lane?
Well, you know how they got that all torn up now?
Yeah, one lane, Walnut Street.
Yeah, they just passed a resolution that it's going to be okay for them to work all night long with one of those things because there's some granite or something they ran into.
Oh, limestone. My. What a surprise. They ran into some limestone.
If you live down there, you may be hearing that boom, boom, boom all night long.
Oh,
here,
man.
Soon.
Isn't that sweet?
Yep. They want to get it done.
Well, of course, Grimes Lane is down there where the lower income people live. Now, I'd say if that road was going through Sarah Road, that they wouldn't be thinking about
You wouldn't
working
do that.
At night.
No.
It would be a whole different story.
Yes.
And, how long can this go on? It's like interminable suffering.
Uh-huh.
Interminable
and like
suffering.
You say, they're punishing us.
They are punishing. The state has punished us with I-69.
Yep.
Now the city is punishing us with not understandable highway work or street work,
Right.
Ill-planned is about the best you can say.
It's sad. Bloomington, just ain't like it used to be. I mean,
it's a mess.
Never will be the same.
Now, IU's working against this because they stopped building dormitories and decided to dump all the tens of thousands of new students out on the town, which stimulated this apartment building boom that the city just let proceed willy-nilly.
Uh-huh.
And I was talking about 3rd Street traffic the other day there at 3rd Street and Adams Street, where the old Rogers place was. That's thousands of new apartment units in there. Thousands.
And they're getting ready to put in 500 out there on West 3rd, or East 3rd, and 446.
Yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? We'll have a new traffic jam spot.
Won't we? Well, you talk about not getting to Bloomington, bud. You're not going to be able to get to Bloomington.
Man, the only way to get around that is to have major highway work, which Bloomington has always needed and never done.
Never done.
They'd made an attempt on 3rd Street, but as soon as they did, they added hundreds of thousands of more cars.
Mm-hmm. that's right. I mean, the traffic went to it. And
an old friend of mine here in town used to be on the Hoosier Environmental Council, Mary Kay Rothert, told me when they built the 46 bypass, around.
Uh-huh.
Well, All the studies show that as soon as you build a bigger highway, the traffic increases. And that's exactly what happens.
That's exactly.
So you're right back where you started. You build the new highway because there's too much traffic. So you got the new highway, and there's still too much traffic because everybody changes to go that way.
But they'll take some of that traffic off of I-69 when they start the toll road.
Yeah, they will. That'll
eliminate a lot of
traffic. That'll send a lot of traffic through Gosport.
It'll send them a lot of different directions, yeah.
They won't be coming into Bloomington.
No. They're talking putting a toll on it anyway, so... And have for some time.
Yeah, I wonder what that'll cost to go to Indianapolis. That'd be at least $5. I'd say $7, but probably.
Let's see. I'd say you won't get by with less than $5.
No, it won't be less than $5.
And I'd say I'm going to guess $10.
$10 would... probably be about right.
And that's not in quarters, that's in greenbacks.
I'm not going to drive up there on that road for
$10. I'm not either.
I don't want to go up there anyway.
I won't use it.
excuse me.
I'll find another way to where I want to go.
Well, I still have to go to Indianapolis because of the Veterans Administration is up there. But there's certainly a better route, and that better route is going up County Line Road through Gosport and north. On 67.
But traffic will get so bad there.
The road will get beat to pieces.
And, of course, that County Line Road is rough anyway.
And there'll be 18-wheelers on it because they don't want to pay that $10 toll either.
No.
So,
But it's coming. And as soon as they get that stretch from Martinsville to Indianapolis done, why then... Look out for the toll.
Well, speaking of tolls.
A toll.
There's been, the government was going to increase and did increase the entry fee at Yellowstone and other national parks this year.
Oh, yeah.
Whatnot. And I got a thing here from Yellowstone Forever, which is a group that wants to ensure that Yellowstone Park lasts forever, and raises money and whatnot. They have a post here on Facebook, actually, about this is the 100th year. 100 years ago this year, the U.S. Army turned over the administration and running of Yellowstone National Park to the park rangers, to the National Park Service rangers. 100 years ago this year. Now, if you're familiar with Yellowstone, you've probably been to Mammoth and seen those buildings that are there all in a nice row and two-story buildings, and then there's a row of the same kind of houses on the next over across on the other side of this field. That's the old Army post where the Army lived, and they had a parade ground there. Now we have buffalo and elk on the parade ground, and... the old Roosevelt entrance is still there, although the traffic isn't routed through it, probably a wise idea, but you can still see it, and it's highly photographed, and this is where all the stuff took place on the changeover there at Mammoth. And, it's quite an anniversary. The U.S. Army running was sent in there because poachers and what do you want to call them, squatters, I guess, had moved into the park and set up businesses and were killing the animals in the park and without permission, which, you couldn't kill them anyway. But that's the reason why the Army went in there. And they did stop the abuse at Yellowstone National Park. And since then, it's been the duty of the U.S. National Park Service park rangers, and that's the gun rangers. You got two kind of rangers. Mm-hmm. You got naturalist rangers and you got gun rangers. The gun rangers are the original park rangers, and they carried a gun for a good reason and still do. So anyway,
well, they need to.
Happy birthday to the park rangers on that 100th anniversary.
Yellowstone National Park.
Yeah, someplace. Yeah. It's one of the crown jewels of our country.
Well, I'll tell you, we got to save our parks, or we're not going to have anything.
Well, there's so many public lands that are being threatened right now.
Right, and that's not good.
Well, every acre is a loss for fish and wildlife.
Yep.
And it's a loss for hunters and fishermen and everybody else who enjoys the outdoors.
Yeah, anybody else that enjoys the outdoors, you're losing it by the acre.
Well, there you go, bud. I saw a picture here this last week of a 60-inch muskie caught up in Ontario.
I haven't seen
a 60-inch muskie in my life. I've seen some one or two on the walls, you know.
Well, you might have seen them there, but
The world record, I believe, was 70 inches. So this one's 10 inches short of that, but this fish took two guys to hold up. It was a huge,
I'll be dog.
Huge muskie. It was posted in this in a catch and release place, but so I hope they did let it go and that it lived, so it could possibly become a 70-inch muskie. I mean, that's a huge fish.
That's huge.
60 inches. So. The guy caught it on 15-pound test.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Which is, here's so you can see it.
Oh, yeah. Heck yes.
A huge picture. That's posted by the Algoma Tourist Bureau and Brennan Harbor Resort. I guess that's where the guy was fishing. Probably.
Well, there's plenty of fish hanging over with both guys holding them.
I know. It's an enormous muskie.
Yes.
And, if you happen to be heading out west, Thursday, August the 9th and the 23rd, and again on September the 6th, at the Columbus Farmers Market, right?
Ah.
3:30 to 6 p.m., there is a bear spray symposium, bear education and bear spray demo.
Well, I'll be.
So they're going to have apparently a bear there that they're going to spray.
Well, evidently.
I can't believe it. But maybe they'll just get a big hairy policeman, you know,
and
spray him.
Spray him, yeah.
Maybe.
Where'd you say that was at?
That's in Columbus, Montana.
Oh, Columbus, Montana.
And Red Lodge Farmers Market. Right. That's on July 13th, which is today or yesterday, but also the 27th, August 10th, and the 24th.
Well, I know where Red Lodge is. Columbus, I was trying to think of where it was.
Well, it's not around Red Lodge. It's from north and west.
I don't think I've ever been there.
I don't think. It's really a place that you don't go too often, but it has people there.
Yeah.
So, you know, although Montana's still, I believe, still under 1 million total population.
Boy, isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, I hope
really.
It stays that way.
It won't.
No.
And did you see where South Dakota was number one in more of people wanting to move to?
People are moving to?
Moving to South Dakota.
South
was
Dakota.
Number one.
Well, that's probably because of the oil fields.
Best place to live, number one, South Dakota.
Hmm. Well, it's a long way between stores, South Dakota.
Yeah, it ain't in walking distance.
South Dakota's pretty cool, though. That's Rapid City, you know, Spearfish, that part of the Black Hills. There's one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yep.
And
if you haven't been there, go, because it's worth your time.
And
Montana and Wyoming was right up there, too, 7th and 8th or something.
Well, any place where you got fewer people, it's going to be a better place to live.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That makes Maine a good place to live, but, man, is it cold up there.
Well, that's it. Well, it gets cold out west,
Yeah. The Dakotas, Montana.
A lot of snow. And
cold.
Yeah.
30 below. 40 below.
Well, Indiana wasn't one of them.
No, Indiana, not one of them.
No, Indiana was not one of them.
Well, I hear our music going again.
Yeah, old Rich, he likes to play that music, I'll tell you. Well, folks, don't go away, because we're not all done yet, and we got a lot more to tell you.
I got a bear story and a buffalo story.
Hey,
all
right. I like bear stories, and I like buffalo stories, and I like elk stories, too.
Yeah.
So don't go away, folks. Golly, it sounds to me like we've got a lot more coming.
Yeah.
And, don't go away, so we'll be right back in a minute.
Get yourself a cup of coffee. Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. This is WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And when you're on WFHB.org, you can come back and listen to some shows up to 2 weeks after they've been aired. So go on online, you'll be able to hear us later in the week. Right now it is 64 degrees in Bloomington. It's going to be hot today, a high of 94. Looking at some T-storms coming up, maybe tomorrow and Sunday and Monday. Highs around 8 in mid-80s all week long. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Is that it?
That's us. We're back.
We're back?
Yes.
By golly, I told you we wouldn't be gone but a minute.
It wasn't that long, no.
No. No. I want to hear that bear story.
Well, I saw on Disgracebook it was in New Jersey, of course, where you see a lot of those black bears, right? And they had taken over somebody's backyard pool. There was a mama and about four or five cubs, and they just had a good old time in that water. I guess it was kind of warm out there in New Jersey. And
no, I bet.
It was really pretty comical. I'm sure if it was your pool, you wouldn't be so happy about it. But they were taking all the stuff that was in the pool, like the things you float on and stuff, and throwing them out on the grass, and then just diving in there and having a good old time. So
the bears was throwing the rafts and stuff.
They didn't want
out. The
rafts in there. They just wanted the water. They couldn't understand why the rafts were in there.
Well, I can kind of figure that out. Yeah, get that junk out of here. We don't need it.
Yeah.
We're not going to float. We're going to swim.
But I don't know what you do when there's five bears swimming in your pool in the backyard.
You don't do a whole lot.
Probably not.
You stay in the house and look out the door. That's normally what you do.
Pretty much what they were doing, yep.
But usually a package of firecrackers will move a bear along.
Yeah, that's true.
And usually. Maybe not if they're really having fun in the pool.
I was going to say, they may have been pretty contented to where they was liking that pool well enough that a firecracker wouldn't have paid much attention to it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, they do get used to firecrackers, although my buddy Mike out in Silvergate, Montana, has a big male bison hanging out in his yard. Gives him the evil eye every time he walks outside and pins him in the house, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he firecrackers this bison, and the bison does take off.
He does go.
He does take off. He leaves a little present of droppings behind him when he does that. Apparently scares him. But big buffalo, you know, can ruin your whole day.
Yeah.
Well, that was my second story. And we were talking about Yellowstone. That's right where this was. But these fools pull over and all get out with their phones to look at the big crowd. And there was maybe 100 of them. There was a lot of them. And one guy standing there, and he just starts walking out towards them, and they all start moving away from him a little bit. And then the phone turns to the right a little, and there's this big one just standing there looking at him, you know.
Mm.
And he runs and jumps on his back of the big bull.
All right.
And the bull takes off running. This guy's like, he looked like he's about 55, 60 years old. And a big old guy, and you see him just go flying across the screen, and then finally he falls off, and he jumps up, and he's going, hey, yeah, I made it. I jumped on his back, just as you see the thing just plow him over from the other angle. Boom.
And, came back and got
oh,
him.
Oh, yeah, he came back. He was not very happy about him jumping on his back. So, you know, I mean, it's bad enough to just take a picture of them. You know, that's not really the smartest thing to do. You should stay in your car, but don't jump on their back. That's probably
I've actually never heard of anybody trying that.
I never either. That's the first time I've heard of that.
That guy was really stupid.
Yeah.
So he didn't get killed, I take it.
I don't know. They didn't show what happened after it hit him the second time. But
but there are many. You know, bison is there's more accidents with bison out there than any other animal.
Oh yeah.
And they are big and they're short tempered. And have a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really don't want to mess with them.
Yeah.
Well. But people will get out of their cars and on moose and elk and stuff and walk right up to them. And, I mean, Lord
it's amazing.
Have mercy.
It's amazing there aren't more people killed.
It is. Really is. You're right.
There, I can't remember a person actually being killed by a bison or an elk in the last 5 or 6 years anyway, maybe longer than that. Now, there are bear attacks now and then, but they've killed quite a few bears. You know, Wyoming had a bear season this year up the edge of the park. Montana canceled theirs. But there's also, within the park itself, been 150 bears killed in the last year from just being habitual offenders. You know, they usually give a bear three chances when he gets in your garbage can or walks down the middle of town and threatens people, you know.
Yeah.
And when that three chances is up, they get, as they say, sent to Bozeman, which is the grizzly bear graveyard. They send them up there to euthanize them.
Yep. What are they, all grizzly bears or black bears too?
Generally grizzly bears, yes. Black bears.
Them grizzly bears are, I think, more dangerous than any of them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
More dangerous, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the only one worse, I guess, is the polar bear who actually hunts people. Whereas the grizzlies are, you know, they're usually defending cubs or they've been surprised over food. You're near a carcass they've been saving, stuff like that. So, and it's really a good idea to not go into bear country by yourself.
No.
And make sure you have your pepper spray. If you're going out west, buy pepper spray before you get up there. Although, you know, at the stores up in the mountains, like in Cook City and over at Mammoth, all sell pepper spray. If you buy it down in Billings before you come up the hill there, it'll be half that price.
Yeah.
And it's been proven time and again that pepper spray works, and it's much more effective than a pistol because even the most experienced hunter, game warden, whatever, with a .357 Magnum can miss a charging bear at 5 feet. And do
all the time, yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between standing here and shooting at a target 5 feet away and shooting at a 600-pound bear snarling with his teeth snapping and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
It makes you a little bit unsteady, I reckon. So
you better be quick draw McGraw.
Pepper spray is the way to go. Pepper spray. is the way to go. Well, what do you know about fishing, Bill? What's going on?
There ain't a whole lot of fishing going on.
Well, I've noticed that. There hasn't been.
It's been so hot. We've had some very hot days there. And, of course, I read the water temperature there at 88 degrees.
Well, that's pretty hot.
That's surface temperature, but still yet. And then all the lakes you named that's got the algae in it, and
this also makes the dissolved oxygen lower, so the fish are inactive.
Right, and so all but Patoka, and when you was mentioning that, the reason I thought maybe Patoka was exempt at the present time is the river runs through there,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a lot more fresher water coming in from the river than you do like Monroe with the creeks and stuff.
Yeah, compared to the size of the lake.
Right.
And the size of the river. The Patoka River is fairly good size.
Uh-huh.
And it would move more water through, and percentage-wise, than at Monroe.
So I figured that that had maybe something to do with Patoka, but I
it also has a lot to do with the lack of septic tanks around the lake.
Yeah, and I don't think there's that many houseboats and stuff.
I don't think there are either. Of course, they didn't put in a bunch of big marinas down there.
No.
They have one that I know of.
You don't have a bunch of houseboats like Monroe, and, of course, they push them houseboats on Monroe.
Well, they've certainly done everything they can to make them successful
mm-hmm.
by... You know, they moved the one houseboat rental place that's down on the other down by Cutright. They moved it out from where it used to be, out on the main lake, to around the corner where the handicap fishing ramp
is. Right there beside
and
it.
Put it right in front of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can hit the dock.
Oh yeah,
with a cast from the not a very long cast from the handicap fishing ramp down at mm-hmm. Cutright, which is nobody even said a word about it except me and you probably. And I've seen people try to fish down there and boats come right, 2-3 feet off the end of that dock.
Oh, yeah.
Just come right by it all the time. If you got a line out there, it's gone.
It's gone because it'll be wrapped in somebody's prop.
Right, and probably cause them to have a motor failure at some point because it destroys the gaskets.
Right yep. There. Eat the line will eat the bearings and stuff right up.
Now, I got to say that bluegills are biting. If you know a good farm pond, that's the place to
well,
go.
Well, yeah, farm ponds right.
And I caught numerous up northern Indiana here last week. I just had a little thing called a Tenkara fly rod that doesn't really have a reel or anything.
Uh-huh.
It's like fishing with a cane pole with a fly line on it. And you throw them out there, and those, they weren't hitting on top, but you let the fly sink a little, you know, and then start slowly bringing it in and get one every time. Of course, these are small. They were fairly small. I didn't catch but one that you might consider big enough to clean.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're in a little better pond, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably, I know some ponds that used to be able to fish that have changed hands and don't anymore. Don't fish there anymore. So make friends with somebody with a nice farm pond or borrow money from the bank and buy one.
Yeah.
Do you have a pond?
No, my pond went to leaking. The muskrats got in it.
Oh, did they?
And I'm going to have to tear it completely out and redo it if I...
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah.
It's nice to have a little pond.
I had a nice pond there.
Mm-hmm. Did you have it fish in it?
Uh-huh.
Probably had some nice bluegill.
And I ordered some of those hybrid bluegill and stuff and put in there. The muskrats got in there, and boy, it didn't take long for them to ruin it.
Well, they can put holes in a dam, and
real quick.
They're probably more destructive than anything else for a pond. A beaver can cause some damage at a pond, but it usually doesn't destroy the pond. They can drop a lot of trees, in
yeah.
your
got any trees around it.
They definitely get rid of those. And, you know, a beaver hates the sound of running water. And if they hear water running, they're going to be there that night, and the water will not be running in the morning.
Is that the way they work?
That's the way they work.
Yeah.
And they're just amazing. They're ceaseless. They're tireless. They just, wow, man, I'm a beaver, and I'm going to stop that sound.
Yeah.
So anyway, the beavers are, and they have a great legend or a legacy they've left us in America, because they created many, many lakes across the northern tier of states, especially.
Yeah, they have.
And that has, you know, that slowed down the streams and allowed forests to get established, and did a lot of good things. Of course, now for fishermen, they're not so good. You know, they make silted ponds. As the fish don't like to spawn in so much, but boy, they do the job on changing the landscape.
Yeah, they will.
I've seen beaver dams that were half a mile wide, and
they got some down at Lake Monroe.
Yeah, they're bank beavers mainly. That's what you see in Indiana, I think, for the most part. Although a few years ago there was some beavers down here. You know where the old stone mill is down on Country Club Road, that road, whatever it is, when it gets down.
Well, Maple Hill, yeah.
When it gets down.
Down at Maple Hill, wasn't it?
Down at the bottom of that, I don't remember the name of the quarry.
Maple Hill.
Is that what it was? Well,
I'm
right,
pretty sure that's the one you're talking
right
about.
Right there, there's some people that live back in there, and they had all kinds of beaver problems, and it was flooding their yard all the time. So, you know, they can be a problem. You just have to keep your eyes open and try to discourage them, you know. But the problem is you go tear up what they did that one night, they got it back the next night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. So what would you recommend doing? Catfishing, Bob, this time of year, Bill?
Yeah, catfishing. Cats are biting right now.
Yeah, I'd say this is prime.
So if you want to do a little fishing, I don't know. Like I say, we've talked about Lake Monroe so much that I wouldn't eat nothing out of Lake Monroe. But,
well, you can't eat anything that's very big out of anywhere.
Well, that's true, where it's White River or Lake Monroe or wherever.
Right.
But they're catching several.
If you want to catch, if you want to catch a big catfish, Lake Monroe's a good place to
go. It's a good place to go.
I'd recommend, you know, catching a few small bluegill, and either use the bluegill itself or fillet a couple of them and use the rib cages as bait. It seems to be the number one catfish bait.
That seems to be the number one bait. Yeah.
I'd say that if you know what you're doing, that's what you'd be using. And forget that stink bait and stink balls and all that stuff. You know,
liver and all that.
All right, don't even think about it. Just get down there with some bluegill, and you'll be all right on that. And there are many channel cats down there that will stretch your line. And we're talking channel cats in that 15-pound range. I mean, big channel cats. And then there you got your 40 and 60-pound flatheads and blue cats in there too. So, you know, if you want some excitement, want to get pulled around, go down to Monroe or Cataract or White River and tie into a big flathead.
Big ones come out of White River.
Oh, every year. Every year. Yeah. I see 40-pounders, pictures of 40-pounders all the time.
But I don't know how you could stand to eat one of them.
Well, you can't eat one of them. You can't eat them. You got to probably turn them loose. Take some pictures and turn them loose.
Take pictures and turn them loose, yeah.
So, you know, that fish has got so much mercury in it and who knows what else. That it, you know, it could probably kill a small child to eat one.
Well, it might. You're right. It may do it.
Just stay off of it. But catching them is still the fun part. You know.
I think we're going to have to move on.
Is it getting to be that time?
It's getting to be that time. We've spent an hour. Rich, you got any short stories?
No more stories from me.
Snort stories? No. Easy for you to say.
Did I say snoring stories?
You said snort.
Snort was what I heard, yes.
Snort stories.
Yeah, snoring's already over for the day, I think, for me. But, we got to go here pretty soon.
Yeah, you got to go out to that new house out in the country.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, he'll be just like he's been let out of prison when he gets down there.
I know. It's freedom.
Yep, freedom at last. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, folks, we hope everybody had a good week and have a good week coming up. Stay cool, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. This is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, broadcasting independently from the John Waldron Arts Center, which is owned and operated by Ivy Tech Community College in Bloomington, proud supporter of community radio. Right now we're at 64 degrees. It's going to be hot today, 94 degrees. Going to be a little bit of T-storms coming up Sunday and Monday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, looking like kind of sunny, but right in the mid-80s. So beautiful summer weather. Enjoy it out there, and we'll be back next week with more Inside Outdoors.